This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
If you're hearing this, you're probably hearing it either on Friday, December 23rd, or perhaps Christmas morning, December 25th.
Yes.
So, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays. Mm-hmm. Later on this edition of Ozarks at Large, a Christmas puzzle from Haim Goodman Strauss. Katie Hendrickson brings some of her family in to the Furman Garner Performance Studio. A Christmas tradition at their family is to play music, and we'll hear them play some. Plus, some mistletoe for sale on the streets of Fayetteville. And more. Sugar on the Floor will be here with a couple of Christmas tunes as well.
Yes, but right now?
We're going to start off with the 12 Days of Christmas.
But we kind of have a unique little twist on it.
We do. There was annually different entities will report how much the 12 Days of Christmas would cost if you were to take the song literally.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to get 364 gifts, including 12 partridges and a pear tree and goodness knows how many gold rings.
Right.
This year, CNBC estimated that the cost would be over $101,000 for those extravagant gifts delivered to your true love.
Yes.
That's too much money.
It is too much money.
We have a better idea.
Yes.
We thought, what if instead of 12 Days of Christmas for your true love,
mm-hmm.
what about 12 Days of Christmas for your community?
Yes. So what we did was we talked to a couple of nonprofits and sort of took stock of things that they need throughout the year.
So I'm not planning on singing in this segment. I don't want to speak for you. But on the first day of Christmas,
yes,
you could give.
You could give sponsorship to a local nonprofit. I spoke to Debbie Winneke, the executive director of Habitat for Humanity, the Benton County one. And she said, you know, they build the houses, but a lot of times they need the supplies and they have to go out and buy them. And the way that they can afford to buy them is by local people sponsoring a certain package.
Some of the materials are donated to the builds, but a lot of the materials we have to purchase. And that's what we mean by adopt a package. It would be adopt a materials package for the build that we're in the process of building, the home we're in the process of building. Like adopting a package of roofing package or the wall package, or maybe they want to help with the siding package. Sheetrock, paint, anything that the money would go towards purchasing that package, yeah.
On the second day of Christmas, you can give books. One of the things that I found out from the talking with Kay McCoy at the Fayetteville Senior Center is that they have a library and they could use donated books. There are many other things,
mm-hmm.
including drivers for Meals on Wheels. Here's part of what Kate told me.
Well, we always have a need for volunteers for the Meals on Wheels driving to delivering
mm-hmm.
meals, like a few hours a week, or even a backup for the volunteers that we do have when they're unable to do the route. And we also are always in need of any donation or any time just to come hang out with the seniors, spend some time here, any library donations they have. Any kinds of things like that are always greatly appreciated.
When you say library donation, you mean perhaps books that can go into the permanent library there?
Exactly.
On the third day of Christmas, you could give your community art supplies. Jennifer Maynard at Lifestyles Incorporated told me that a lot of the people there create their own art, and it's sold, and they actually get a portion of the proceeds from that. So what they could use are art supplies.
Certainly for us, something that is ongoing is art supplies for our art program. We have, on a regular basis, about 50 people each week that take part in our art program. And for folks with developmental disabilities, it's often an opportunity for folks to express themselves in ways they've never had an opportunity to do before.
On the fourth day of Christmas, you can give to your community clothing, among the many things that can be useful at the Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter, according to Melanie Palmer, who is there. Clothing items, and she told me earlier that so many people that need help from the women's shelter come in sometimes literally with just the clothes on their back.
We are always in need of pajamas, clothing, coats in the wintertime, that kind of thing. So those are some basic things that we are always in need of here at the shelter, and always make a difference to the women and children we serve.
And as can be the case for sometimes when women and or families are seeking shelter there, they're leaving with very little, but the clothes on their back.
Absolutely. And we come to people who have, we have people come to us who have literally left in kind of the middle of the night type of situation, and they have absolutely nothing. So we provide them with everything they need, you know, all the way down to their basic necessities and clothes for work if they, you know, need those. And so anything that it costs to run your own household or anything that you need on a daily basis, those are the things that our women and children need.
And at the end of that statement from Melanie Palmer, she's talking about anything that you have in your house that you need on a daily basis mm-hmm. is something they need. So deodorant, toothpaste, think about what you need and if you didn't have that you would need to get to work or get to school, and they can use that as well, as money and time.
So on the fifth day of Christmas, you could give toiletries right. to a number of different agencies.
Right.
I know they always need shampoo or toothpaste or soap. And
works for a food bank as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. On the sixth day of Christmas, you can give your time. I talked with John Woodward, who's the executive director of Seven Hills Homeless Shelter in Fayetteville, and he mentioned that they have a new mentoring program that will begin in 2012. There are many things you can do as a volunteer, but he said there's one very important thing that comes from volunteering.
They show, individuals and families who are homeless or on the verge of becoming homeless, the fact that the community cares about them. And one of the biggest factors in homelessness psychologically is the fact that you can feel really, really isolated, like you're the only one kind of in the midst of this position. And being that more than 75% of who's homeless right now in Northwest Arkansas are homeless for the first time ever, they've had no experience with homelessness before that, it can be a real isolating situation. And having a volunteer from the community there just to show that the community cares, and by just having simple conversations and in trying to meet those basic needs, it really makes a huge difference.
On the seventh day of Christmas, you could give a stuffed toy to a child. There are a lot of children's organizations in the area, and I talked to Abra Lang from the Children's Safety Center, and she said one of the things that they like to send home with the children who have to come through there are stuffed toys.
Something that we always use is every child that comes through gets a stuffed animal to take home with them. And so that's always something that people sometimes do stuffed animal drives to bring like a new stuffed animal as well.
On the eighth day of Christmas, we know there are many animal shelters and humane societies in the area. Dog food, cat food that can, or pet food that can be donated to the shelters. Simple enough.
Simple enough. On the ninth day of Christmas, you could give your community the gift of peanut butter. When I spoke to Marge Wolf at the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank, she says one of the things that they need year-round is protein.
We're always in need of protein. And peanut butter, of course, is one of the better proteins if you're not talking about meat. And the thing is, for people to give meat, it has to be, you know, there's certain criteria for that. But absolutely, we need canned tuna is great protein. Canned meats is great protein. So there's a lot of protein out there that doesn't have to be refrigerated.
And we know from our past conversations with food banks in Fort Smith, Northwest Arkansas, and throughout the region, non-perishables, protein, very important, not just at Christmas time, but all year round.
Mm-hmm.
On the 10th day of Christmas, advocacy. To your level, let your friends and family know that there are these organizations that are worth your time, your money, and your spirit.
On the 11th day of Christmas, you could give volunteering. You can never do too much volunteering, but we'll make this a little specific. We'll say skills.
If you have computer skills,
mm-hmm.
if you can build things, repair mm-hmm. things, if you can do accounting.
Becky Morrison at the Northwest Arkansas chapter of the American Red Cross says they rely heavily, heavily on volunteers. And she said there people can participate in the disaster action team where they receive training and they can help out with families, say, who have had a fire. They also are in need of health and safety instructors and also people to help with administrative duties.
On the 12th day of Christmas, you can give blood.
There you go.
According to the Red Cross website, the National Red Cross website, you can give blood. There are different ways you give blood,
mm-hmm.
but generally you can give blood six times a year.
Okay, so you and a friend would make 12.
There you go.
There you go.
12 blood donations per year.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing, that it's 364 items. If you take the song literally, that on the 12th day you're giving 12, 11, 10, 9, all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
Again, CNBC this year estimated it's more than $101,000 if you go the old sort of consumer
sure.
partridge in a pear tree gold rings way.
Right, and all those birds.
All those birds.
All those birds. So with our new list,
yes,
we have 12 sponsorships. So that's, you could sponsor one thing a month.
That's right. In fact, I know that Melanie Palmer told me at the Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter that they tell people $50 mm-hmm. helps a woman in, for one day.
Oh, wow.
That's what they can have someone safe for one day and in peace, $50.
Okay.
So you can choose your level of sponsorship to your organization.
Absolutely. You would have 22 books, which probably things you already have at home, children's book maybe that you've outgrown.
Right.
27 art supplies, so crayons, markers, scissors, construction paper, glue, awesome things like that. 36 bags of clothing throughout the year. That's not hard to do. I know I have a lot of turnover in my closet.
And if you perhaps had an organization around your
yes.
block or among your family or friends or coworkers.
Easily done in a year.
Exactly.
Easily done in a year. You would have 40 different toiletry items, I mean, between shampoo and toothpaste and all those sorts of things.
Nail clippers, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd have 42 hours, volunteer hours.
No charge there.
No charge there. 37 toys, stuffed animals, usually run about $5 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
40 cans or bags, your choice, of course, of pet food. 36 jars of peanut butter.
Or cans of tuna or again, non-perishable.
Non-perishable right. items like that. Maybe 30 hours of advocacy, you know, going out there and letting people know about these organizations. Another 22 hours of volunteer hours because
of
you can
skills.
never share too many,
right.
many hours. Again, no cost to you. And as we said, the 12 donations of blood, you and a friend could donate
and
six times a year.
You get donuts in return or cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you actually
so
something
you get
back.
Like, and probably a sticker or a shirt sometimes.
I guess. Yeah, I've never mm-hmm. gotten a shirt, but
oh, well,
but you can, yes.
Yes.
Definitely a sticker. So add up all of those,
yes.
those 364 different things that you've given your communities over 12 days. We're estimating that could cost?
Less than $700.
So there you go.
So there you go.
All right. And you don't have to deal with one newspaper down under a partridge
no.
or a geese or anything like that.
Not at all.
And in case you need just one more nudge, this is what Melanie Palmer at the Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter told me Friday morning.
We serve about 3,000 people per year, and we do it largely on the support of the community. And so we are grateful to everyone that helps us throughout the year, and we would welcome anyone to get involved that is interested.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Anne Smith-Grajeda.
Inside copies of Northwest Arkansas newspapers throughout the holiday week will be a special series about shelters in the area, an eight-part series. Here to talk to us about it is special projects reporter for Northwest Arkansas newspapers, Dan Kraft.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Dan, how are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Good. This is a series that you had told us some time ago that was going to be ready for the holiday week, and here it is.
Yeah, we like doing sort of multi-part series over the holiday week. It sort of brings the whole holiday season together, and it's also a very slow time for news. So it's a good way for us to fill the paper and bring out something that we maybe not wouldn't be able to do in a normal week.
It's a win-win.
It is a win-win. This is about shelters, all kinds of shelters.
All kinds of shelters. There are seven pieces on individual shelters written by various members of our staff, and then one final wrap-up piece on fundraising and some of the challenges these various groups face, particularly in this economy.
Did you get to write a story about one of these?
Actually, the shelter I was trying to get with fell through, so I wrote the fundraising story.
Oh, there you go.
Well, let me ask you about that, because a recent survey from the United Way of Northwest Arkansas indicated that many nonprofits, shelters included, are trying to serve more people while they are receiving less money. Is that what you found in your...
That's what we found, and actually in talking with Major Tim Williford, he's with the Salvation Army here in town, he said that some of the folks they used to see showing up with checks are now showing up seeking help. It's gotten just bad enough for them that they've gone from a donor to somebody who needs assistance.
What kind of... you mentioned you did the fundraising story. There were seven individual shelters profiled. What are some of them?
Well, we sent folks to... like I said, a variety of places. One at the Northwest Arkansas Children's Shelter, which is for kids who have been neglected, abandoned, or otherwise don't have a parental unit around. The homeless shelter, Kevin Kinder spent a night down at the Salvation Army shelter, one for pregnant women. Larry Henry, who's our mm-hmm. special projects editor, we sent him to spend some time at Decision Point, where people with substance abuse and drug addiction problems try to kick it. And we actually even sent Ashley Batchelor from our feature staff mm-hmm. to spend some time at the animal shelter because
That's a shelter as well.
It is. Basically, what we're trying to do is get a varied slice of the various shelters that are available and sort of show a day in the life of each of them, how they try to serve their various clients.
And this is an 8-part series that runs through the holiday week.
That's right.
Dan Kraft is the special projects reporter for Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, guys.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Heim Goodman Strauss.
Good morning, Kyle.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
You walked in here today saying you had a Christmas puzzle.
Well, I think it's a puzzle. It's really – I know my true love loves me truly.
Yes.
But, you know, on the first day she gave me one of something or another.
Oh, are you referring to the 12 days?
Right.
Yes.
And on the second day she gave me –
Well, the first day – according to the song, is a
partridge in a pear tree.
Thank you. A partridge in a pear tree. And then the second day is two turtle doves.
And then a partridge in a pear tree again.
Right.
Now, so the amount of gifts is just accumulating and accumulating.
Sure.
God, the basement's just full of yards of leaping. And
you've got all these gold rings.
So the question is, how fast overall is the total accumulation of gifts growing? Is it growing like exponentially? Is it growing... Obviously, there's more and more gifts. I mean, it's accelerating in some rate. That's it. That's the whole puzzle.
So at what rate do those 12 days of Christmas gifts accelerate?
Approximately. You know, I mean, even just sort of estimating it is, in particular, is it exponential growth? Is it like growing like, is it sort of proportional to the square of the number of days? That kind of thing.
All right. Well, let's think about this.
That's it.
Earth, sky.
Some people worried about doomsday believe that Earth's poles are going to flip.
That's called a magnetic pole reversal, where the positions of magnetic north and magnetic south are interchanged. A magnetic pole reversal is probably coming, according to scientists at NASA and others. They say that magnetic pole reversals are not dangerous destroyers. In fact, geologically speaking, they happen all the time.
Scientists estimate that magnetic reversals have happened at least hundreds of times in our planet's history. Over the past 20 million years, Earth has settled into a pattern of a pole reversal about every 200,000 years. The last one, though, was 780,000 years ago. Most scientists believe these magnetic reversals happen gradually over hundreds or thousands of years.
The magnetic North Pole has been creeping northward by more than 600 miles, about 1,000 kilometers, since the early 19th century, when explorers first located it precisely. Recently, it's been moving faster. Scientists estimate the pole is migrating northward about 40 miles per year.
What would happen after a pole reversal? Well, for one thing, compass needles would point south instead of north. But would there be any dramatic effects? According to the geologic and fossil records from past magnetic reversals, the answer seems to be no. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Kyle, back again with Heim, and you asked us to think about the growth rate of the gifts that are given.
The total number of the accumulation day after day.
In the 12 days of Christmas.
Right.
Because on that first day, it's a partridge in a pear tree.
That's easy to deal with.
Then it's two turtle doves.
And the partridge in the pear tree.
Right.
Again, that's the second
that's
one
right.
of those.
Then it's three French hens.
Yeah.
They make a lot of mess. And a partridge in a pear tree.
Right.
And then the fourth day. And then the fifth day it's cold. And so you wanted us to think about how fast is this accumulation taking place? And you asked, is it exponential growth?
Well, for example, that would be an example.
Right, but I don't think it is exponential
growth.
So what's the answer here?
It grows like approximately like the cube of the number of days. And there's actually a really neat way to see that.
Please tell me.
Well, suppose we just sort of represent all the gifts with tennis by tennis balls. All she's doing is she's giving me, on the first day of Christmas, I get one tennis ball.
Right.
On the second day of Christmas, I get two tennis balls and another tennis ball.
Here, let's make them different colors. On the first day, you get a white tennis ball.
Okay.
The second day, she's giving you two green tennis balls
and a white one.
That's the third day, three orange, two green, one white.
Well, if you think about it, you can start to stack these tennis balls into a little pyramid.
Sure.
Because on the first day, you have one tennis ball. The second day, you have the two tennis balls. That makes a triangle. And then another tennis ball, which you can stick on top. That makes a little pyramid, a little tetrahedron. The third day, you've got next to that, you can put the three yellow tennis balls or whatever. On top of that, two, and then one, and then your pyramid is grown.
Right? And it's going to keep doing that. The fourth day is four. You've got the base for the five, the six, seven.
And in fact, the total number of gifts are what you could call tetrahedral numbers. It's exactly the number of tennis balls in a tetrahedron of a given size. And in fact, if you think about it, that's a three-dimensional object.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As it gets bigger, the volume of it, and hence the number of balls and gifts, grows with roughly like the cube of the size. That's
so you could sing the tetrahedral days of Christmas.
You could. I would.
On the first tetrahedral day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Many families have holiday traditions.
They do.
Whether it involves travel or food or an activity.
Or food.
For the newest voice on Ozarks at Large, Katie Hendrickson, her family, very musical.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that many times around the holidays, their gatherings include music. So she asked some of her family members to come to the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
Growing up, music was always a family affair, especially around the holiday season. So I asked my mother, Carol Witter, to come into the Furman Garner Performance Studio to play a couple tunes on her accordion, which has been her most recent instrument, Love. So here's Carol Witter performing on accordion with accompaniments by my sister, Heidi Witter, on the first tune and her friend Denise Nelson on the second tune.
Are we ready? Okay, one, two, three. Thank you.
A couple of tunes performed by Carol Witter on two accordions, as accompanied by Heidi Witter and Denise Nelson. That first tune was Butterfly, a slip jig, and the second was a klezmer tune called Ozzedini. Well, first off, tell us, you were playing two different accordions. Tell us about the accordions you were playing.
Okay, for the klezmer tune, I was playing a big, full-sized piano accordion. It has about 135 bass button and chord buttons, and it's got about 2.5 to 3 octaves on the piano keyboard. So the right side looks just like a piano, and the left side's got all the basses and chords, and that's a full modern accordion. And then for the two Irish pieces, I had a little two-row button accordion that's made especially for Irish music, and it's called a diatonic accordion. So,
and when did you buy your first accordion, and why?
Well, you know, I was just thinking about this. My first accordion, I always say that's my midlife crisis instrument, and I realized it was my empty nest instrument, because when you went away to college was when I got my first accordion, your freshman year in college. And it was your dad and I listened to a lot of world music, and I noticed there was a lot of accordion in all this world music, and I was also getting really interested in folk music. So we found this accordion at a flea market in Seligman, Missouri, and it was just like in perfect condition. We spent about an hour playing with it. So I thought, this is great. I can play all kinds of music on this piano accordion. I can play Irish and Tex-Mex and klezmer. But then I found out later that most Irish musicians play a little button accordion tuned a certain way, and then Tex-Mex play a three-row button accordion, and there's only certain kinds of music, especially in folk circles, that, you know, they would even allow the piano accordion to come in. So as I got interested in different genres of music, I realized I had to get a different kind of accordion for each kind of music.
So how many do you have now?
I think I have 18 or 19 now.
I can never remember. I always remember it's in the upper teens, but I can never remember.
Uh-huh. And it started out with the piano accordion, and then I got a button accordion, and I thought I could play Irish on it, but then I learned later I had to have like a B, C, or C sharp D. It was tuned differently. And then when I started playing Tex-Mex, I learned that was tuned differently, and then it got kind of addictive. And then we moved to Russia. And I have two chromatic accordions that are, they're button accordions, but they play like the piano accordion. But instead of having a piano keyboard, they have buttons, but they're not like the little button accordions. So as I got interested in world music, every genre had a different kind of accordion, and then every accordion has a different personality and a different tone and a different feel. So because I love so much world music, you know, it just kind of was a natural thing. And then it just became addictive also.
So why you grew up playing piano and upright bass. Mm-hmm. What drew you specifically to the accordion as opposed to any other instrument?
Well, I think it was the world music. And then when I started looking at the sociological aspects of it, like all across the culture, like in Ireland or Mexico or even in South Africa, the working class played the little button accordions, and the upper and middle class played the piano accordions or the chromatic, and there was a real class and a real cultural issue with the accordions too. So at first I knew that about Irish accordion, but then I started reading about Tex-Mex and how all the, you know, the conjunto music are like the rancheros and the workers, and the mariachi bands are the upper and middle class, and they used to never mix. They wouldn't dare mix. So there's a whole cultural aspect to it too that's just really fascinating.
That was Carol Witter explaining her passion for accordions and why she has so many of them. Just after the performance in the studio, I also spoke with Carol Witter, my mom, and my sister Heidi Witter about growing up in a musical household. We all grew up playing music together. What was it like to play music together today?
It was a nice, refreshing thing to do. We haven't done it in a long, long time. It sure was fun.
I remember when we were growing up and we'd be at Grandmother and Granddad Witter's house and we'd all get all our instruments and play Christmas carols. Do you guys want to talk about that a little bit?
It was so much fun because a granddad played the oboe and started teaching me oboe lessons at when I was 12, I believe, 6th grade, 11 or 12. And so our cousin Jenny, she played oboe also, and so we had all these double reeds going on, which was always fun. Plus just it's hard to find people that you have a right dynamic to play music with. You can't just get together with anyone, but if you have family members, then you automatically have a dynamic going on there. So it's really nice to be able to just get in there and play.
Yeah, I prefer it when Heidi accompanies me because she grew up with me. So we know how to play music together, and the same with you. And I love it when we all sing together. That's always really nice. And Katie sings harmonies, the thing about Christmas, and we haven't done this in years, we always played recorders. We had the Christmas carolers, and then Granddad always had the bass recorder.
I remember being the little drummer boy before.
Yeah, the youngest cousin or the youngest grandchild was always a drummer boy. So, and we'd go around to house, and people would make big feasts for us. We'd sing a little and then eat, and then go to another house and sing a little and eat.
Well, music always culturally, music used to be a way for people to entertain each other, and it's like playing a board game or something. People would sit down and sing and play on the piano and get out their instruments and jam together. It seems like it's kind of fallen away, but it's coming back. I know that that's really important to you.
Oh, yes, very much so. And I grew up, on my side, your Grandpa Ash, we always sang. He's a really good piano player. So we always, when the family got together, we'd sing songs. And I have two books I still have from then, like Song from the Gilded Ages and from the 1890s to the 1930s, and singing around the piano and was always one of my favorite things to do.
And why do you feel like it's such an amazing thing to do, to play music with friends and family?
Well, I think it's a way to build such a community and a connection. You can connect through music in a way you can't connect any other way, because it's a way to express your emotions and share your emotions. And when you really connect, especially in an ensemble, it's one of the most exciting feelings in the world, I think.
Well, I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and Fröhliche Weihnachten, and maybe you will be getting out your instruments with your family or going Christmas caroling. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Katie Henriksen.
It is Friday, December 23rd, 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Anne Snooker-Hayden.
With us inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio for the last time in 2011 is Becca Bacon-Martin. Mm. She's features editor of Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Wow, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy Boxing Day.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to be out shopping tomorrow day. This has been a recurring theme. Have you all noticed that? Uh-huh. But we're not going to talk about Christmas. We're going to leap ahead because people need to plan for New Year's Eve.
Yes.
And yay, first night is back in Fayetteville.
And this time?
But it's not first night.
It's?
Last night. Are you confused yet?
It's like an Abbott and Costello routine waiting to be written.
All week. Yes.
Oh, maybe that's a Gridiron skit. What night is it?
Yeah.
In fact, some of the folks from Gridiron are going to be performing at Last Night. Are you, Antoinette?
I am not.
Oh.
But I'm fully supportive of the crew that's going to go out
Who's
there.
Who's going to be there? Do you know?
Brenda Blagg. I think there's six of them. So Brenda Blagg, Rusty Turner.
Catherine Schultz, Ray Minor,
Jose Lopez, and Robin
Ledbetter.
Yes, thank you.
If you have never seen the Gridiron Show that's put on by local journalists, here's your chance, and the ticket's cheap and comes with all sorts of other things. This happens, of course, December 31st on the Fayetteville Square. It's hosted by the Creative Economy Action Group.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be all the things that you learn to expect at first night. There's a kids' zone at East Square Plaza with puppets and Jules Taylor doing shaky bugs, Marshall Mitchell juggling. There's an indoor sculpture. Marshall Mitchell
okay.
and juggling.
Okay, I was going to say.
Marshall Mitchell making music. Juggleology juggling.
Okay. There you go.
I didn't know Marshall juggled. Ah. And he doesn't, apparently.
Apparently not. We'll have to ask him.
Yes.
There's an indoor sculpture garden. Mm-hmm. There's a fashion show. Mm-hmm. There's a folk stage at Odom Law Firm with Emily Kate still on the hill and a folk jam. There's a Sheet Fort Theater at Kathy Thompson's studio with Artist Laboratory Theater doing something they call Found Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And that's where the Gridiron folks will be doing some of the skits and songs from Gridiron. Everything political, everything current events that you never wanted to imagine.
Mm-hmm.
There's a comedy club at the Mustache with Ozark Poetry Slam and Fun Bags mm-hmm. and Black and Tan.
Oh, yay.
There'll be belly dancers. There'll be the giant puppet parade. There's a hog drop countdown. There are fireworks. And it's $10 for adults.
And that gets you into everything, right?
That gets you into everything. There's a $50 VIP pass. And I think what that gets you into is booze. But I haven't really checked it out.
And that's a slightly new element for the event.
Yes.
Booze. Yes.
And it's $5 for ages 2 to 12. So it is still family friendly.
Yes.
And you can find out more at lastnightfayetteville.com. Then there's a whole raft of other stuff going on.
Such as?
From Eureka Springs to Harrison to Mountainburg, Bella Vista's having a New Year's Eve dance at Reardon Hall.
Jack Mitchell?
Probably.
Okay.
All of this is in your edition of What's Up Today.
Mm-hmm.
Eureka Springs has the Ballroom Blitz, music with the Aerials at the Basin Park Hotel. Fayetteville has Dirtfoot at Mountain Sprout at George's.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, turning the pages because I can't remember all this. The Wranglers are playing at Buck Naked Barbecue. There's a Roaring Twenties party.
Oh, really?
At Speakeasy.
Are they not hosting the Blue Masquerade? They did that last year.
Apparently it's a Roaring Twenties party.
Okay.
And if you were going to have a Roaring Twenties party at some place, it should be at a Speakeasy.
It should be at a Speakeasy, shouldn't it? It says $5 reserves a table.
So they are encouraging you to dress like
costume?
A flapper and or gangster?
I have an outfit. That would work.
Ooh, that'd be fun. Fort Smith has Tinsel and Tails at Phoenix Expo Event Center. A New Year's Eve ball drop at Creekmore Park.
Mm-hmm.
A champagne jam at Second Street Live with the Chris Cameron Blues Band and Oreo Blue.
Fantastic.
And in Harrison, party like it's 1929.
Oh,
because of the Lyric Theater.
Right. I'm just...
Oh, yeah, 1929. Don't.
Okay.
Party like it's the good part of the 1920s.
Party like it's the first 10 months of 1929.
Of 1929. The Cate Brothers are playing at the Lyric Theater, and then the after party goes to the Hotel Seville.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like fun. Mountainburg has cruises on the lake.
At what time?
They start at 4:30.
Okay.
And Paris has Midnight on the Mountain at Mount Magazine State Park.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
There's a New Year's Eve gala to benefit the March of Dimes at Serendipity Events in Rogers with food from Crabby's Bar and Grill and music by The Sounds of Studio B.
Okay.
There's a New Year's Eve party at Eddie Haskell's with party music with the Pogs with DJ Sugar Shane.
Mm-hmm.
New Year's Eve party at A-Loft with...
In Rogers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Van Buren has a tribute to the legends. Impersonations of Johnny Cash, Conway Twitty, Buddy Holly, Patsy Cline at the King Opera House from 8 to midnight on New Year's Eve, and that's $10.
That is many, many options.
Oh, yes.
We have this all in What's Up Today. We'll have it again next Friday, and we'll see you or hear you in the new year.
And let me just say something. Earlier this week, you and I were talking about some lectures at
Crystal Bridges.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't know quite where they were, whether they were going to be in the Great
good.
Hall. But the folks from Crystal Bridges were listening, and I mean, they called. They were very, very nice and said, those kinds of lectures, just for our future knowledge, are in the gallery so they can be right by.
Oh, cool.
Now, they will have talks and discussions in the Great Hall. Those will be called Great Hall lectures.
Excellent.
So now we know.
Good to know.
Thank you,
I did
folks.
Not make it to the one this week, but I would have loved to have. I'm fascinated by Edward Curtis's photography. Next time.
Okay. Hey, Becca, have a great holiday season.
Merry Christmas to all of you. I love you guys.
Yay.
Right back at you.
Becca Bacon Martin is the features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. Last Saturday, when she was running errands in downtown Fayetteville, Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich noticed a little girl seated behind a tiny table covered with bundles of green plants tied with pink ribbons. Verona Sky Friday was wearing a heavy black woolen coat with a pink velvet Santa cap over her long red curls. Her dad sat behind her, strumming his guitar.
My name is Verona. I'm selling mistletoe.
And what do you think people do with the mistletoe?
They kiss under it.
Who told you that?
My dad.
And he's right behind you, and he's got a guitar?
Mm-hmm.
And do you think he'll play for us?
Maybe.
That's about it.
How many mistletoes have you sold?
Well, I think I forgot, but look, I have our money in here.
You have your money in the drawer?
Mm-hmm.
With your receipts?
That's all my pictures I was making.
So you have your office set up here, your business office.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. So, has any of your customers picked up a mistletoe and kissed?
Yeah.
What's that like? You're promoting love.
Well, I didn't kiss them. Somebody else kissed their friend.
Who was your favorite customer?
The first one.
Why?
That's why she's very nice.
And how long have you been doing it?
Well, I forgot. They don't have a timer out here.
What's the best thing about sewing mistletoe?
That's why you can get money and we can buy things with the money.
So it's not about love and Christmas, it's purely money.
You need money to buy Christmas presents.
Are you getting a lot of customers?
I was.
Until I showed up with the microphone?
You can be a customer if you want.
I can be a customer. You know what? I can be a customer. And I'll have to come back because I don't think I brought any cash with me. Okay. So how old are you?
6.
And how long have you been?
I mean 7. 7.
How long?
I keep forgetting. That's why last year I was 6 and now I'm turned 7.
Good age. Well, I think we should close out with a song. How about one stanza from Jingle Bells? You ready? Jingle bells,
jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride on a one-horse open sleigh. Hey!
Jingle
bells, jingle bells, jingle all
the way. Daddy!
Jingle all
the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Merry Christmas!
Thank you.
What are your office hours?
bad question.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
We're inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio, and we have some guests.
We do. Would you guys like to tell us who you are one at a time? Starting here.
I'm Mim Heinrichs.
I'm Julie Minkle.
I'm Joni Green.
And I'm Mary McKee.
You've been here before. Collectively, you're known as?
Sugar on the Floor.
Do you have any holiday traditions, any of you, winter or holiday traditions that you follow at your household or perhaps together?
Singing, yes.
We sing a lot. Christmas songs, yeah.
We also get together and watch Love Actually.
Yeah, it has to happen sometimes.
Christmas season.
Which is a movie that takes place at Christmas.
It does. Mm-hmm.
And we do like to eat together. We find lots and lots of reasons for traditional eating.
I'm a fan of that. It's one of my favorite traditions.
Any time of year, pretty much.
So you're here to sing for us today. Can you tell us a little bit about how you came up with which songs you're going to perform?
We love Christmas songs. You know, we wait all year. Sometimes we just pull out our Christmas songs in the middle of the summer and sing them. But this time of year, it becomes socially acceptable to come out of the closet with them. So we picked the two songs that we're going to sing here just because they're two of our favorites at this moment. But we love pretty much every Christmas song ever written.
But they're also really different. Mm-hmm. One is a very sad sort of lullaby, but tragic. The other one is a spiritual and very uplifting. So,
what will we hear you sing?
The two songs are called Somebody Talking About Jesus and the Coventry Carol.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's hear them.
Luli, lule, thou little tiny child, bye-bye, luli, lule. Lule, thou little tiny child, bye-bye. Sisters too, how may we do for to preserve this day? This poor youngling for whom we do sing, bye-bye. Everywhere I go,
Everywhere I go.
For KUAF comes from Clubhouse Fitness and Health Club, now offering Clubhouse Complete Weight Loss. This program includes meal planning, weekly accountability, nutritional products, plus group classes and health education. Located on Dixon Street in Fayetteville, clubhausfitness.com for more information. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville.
Fort Smith, Rogers, Noel, Missouri.
Well done.
Noel, see it spelled.
Got it.
Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Aunt Tonight Grajeda.
Thank you so much for listening throughout 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And next week, some of our favorite shows.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.